Our Lord is sitting there in the courtyard of the temple, and he's surrounded by people, and he begins to speak to them. It says in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again," after this interruption, after the Pharisees had come and brought to him the woman that settled this issue. He began again to speak to them, and here's what he says. "I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I've said so often, there are two things necessary to sight, both physical sight and spiritual sight. If a man's going to see physically, he's got to have eyes. Can't see unless you have eyes. But a man may have the best eyes and have no light, and he can't see. He walks in darkness. And that's true spiritually. The seeing eye is of the Lord, and the hearing ear is of the Lord. But Christ said, "I'm the light. I'm the one by whom you see who God is and what God's purposes and will is. I'm the one by whom you see." That's what Paul is saying over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn over there with me. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them." They have minds, but they're blinded. They're in darkness. They have eyes, but they're blinded. Christ said they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hearts, but they can't understand. "Lest the light of the glorious God," the what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves your servants for Christ's sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine, Christ to come, the fulfillment of all things, the promised one, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It's the same God who, in creation, the world, was without form and void in darkness upon the face of the deep. He said, "Let there be light." And when there's light, things appear as they are. And God commanded Christ to shine out of darkness into our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge who God is, what sin is, who we are, what we need. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. John 14, turn over there. John 14. "And Philip said unto him," John 14, 8, "Lord, let us see the Father. Show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us." And Christ said, "Philip, have I been so long time with you, and you've not known me? He that has seen me, I am the light by which you see God, by which you see the glory of God. He that has seen me," he's seen the Father. And that's what he's saying to these people here. "I'm the light. I'm the light of the world." And there are two things necessary to hear, and that's an ear. But there's got to be a word. If a person does not speak, you won't hear anything. You may have the best ear, but you don't hear unless they speak. Christ is the light, spiritual light, all spiritual light, only spiritual light. Christ is the Word of God. "He that spoke to our fathers by the prophets has spoken to us by his Son." He's the only messenger. He's the last messenger. He's the truth. We've got to hear him. And he says, "He that followeth me," verse John 8, verse 12, "he that followeth me," he that looketh to me, seeth me, "he'll not walk in darkness. But the person who doesn't see me and know me and look unto me walks in darkness. But he that seeth me and followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. This life and light's the same thing. Turn to John 1. The light is the life. Christ is the light. Christ is the life. In John 1, listen to verse 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, by Christ. Without Christ was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. In Him was life. He is the life. You hear people say, God is alive. Such comments indicate an ignorance of who God is. God is life. God's not alive. God is life. Jesus is alive. The person that makes that statement indicates a total ignorance of who He is. He is the light. Without Him is darkness. He is the life. Without Him is death. There is no life. Listen, John 1:4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Unfortunately, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. One other reference in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And this is a verse that is so very important. It's just a summary of God's grace and gift and salvation. In 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. The light, the life, the truth. The bread from heaven. He has come and hath given us hearing, sight, understanding, that we may know Him that is true. The only way to know, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The only way to know anything about God is in Christ. And given us understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we're in Him. By His grace, in Christ, through Christ, we're in Him that is true. Even, not in His church. That's a byproduct. In His Son, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is life. And that's what He said to them as they gathered about Him there. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Outside of Christ, there's no light and no life. And then the Pharisees, they always were contentious, argumentative, agitating the religious people, perverted, warped, crooked, self-centered, self-seeking, covetous, religious people, leaders, blind leaders of the blind. They therefore said to Him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Now listen to how He replies. He answered and said to them, you know, He had set this matter straight over in John 5, the same crowd. He said Himself, if I bear record of myself, my record is not true. But He said, the Father bear record of me. If I bear record of myself, my record is not true in the sense that every word according to Scripture has to be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But He said, my Father bear record of me. John the Baptist bore record of me. The works that I do, they bear record of me. The Scripture that you search bears record of me. But He's here, listen, He qualifies that, and He says in verse 14, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. He's the only one who can say that. He's the only human being who can say, if I'm the only voice you hear, it's voice enough. If I'm the only record you have, it's record enough. If I'm the only witness you have, it's witness enough. Because, listen, I know who I am. I know, he said, whence I came. I speak things that I do know. I know who I am. I know who sent me. I know whence I came and why I came. And I know where I go. But you cannot tell. You do not know who I am. The world knew him not. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own people, the Jews, the temple, and they received him not. And the leaders of this world, the princes of this world, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if they had known him, they wouldn't have crucified him. And he said again, you neither know me nor my Father, but you do not know. You don't know who I am, whence I came, why I came, and where I go. Do you? What a blessing to know who he is. What a blessing to know who he is. To be able to say with Paul, oh, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of the angels, justified in the spirit. Preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. I know who he is. I know whence he came. I know who sent him. My Father sent me. I know why the Father sent him, to redeem a people. And I know where he is now, received up into glory, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I know, he said. If I bear record of myself, my record is true because I know who I am and who sent me and why I came and whither I go. But he said, you don't know. You don't know those things. You do not know. Now listen carefully. In verse 15 and 16 through 18, he makes such a strong claim to deity. Total sovereignty. You know, when he prayed in John 17, he said, Father, you've given me all power, all authority over all flesh. We're in his hands. Believers are on his hands. Unbelievers are in his hand to deal with as he will. But God put him, us, on his hands as surety to bring home, redeem. But now listen to what he says to him. So powerfully, so plainly, you judge after the flesh. He's saying here, you set yourself up as authorities and judges. You judge according to the flesh. You judge as the flesh sees and surmises. You set yourself up as judges by what you see and only by what you see. And you condemn based on external human standards and human appearances. You are a man, they said. That's what they said to him. You're a man. You can't be God. They were judging totally and solely according to the flesh. Why, they said he's the carpenter. We know his mother. We know his father. We know his brothers and sisters. How can he give us his flesh to eat? How can he know Abraham? He's not a 50 years old. You judge by the flesh, he said. You think you know. But he said, listen, I judge no man. Not this way. Not by the flesh. Not by human standards or human appearances. God does not look on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. That's what Job said to his friend. The root of the matter is in me. They were judging by what they saw. And he said, you judge everything by what you see. What appears in the flesh, according to human standards. I judge no man. He means two things by that. I don't judge by outward appearance. And as a redeemer, I didn't come to judge. In John 12, turn over there a moment. As the redeemer, as the Messiah, I didn't come to judge. In John 12, look at verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Not now. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The Son of Man didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world through him might be saved. You see that? He's speaking to these religious leaders, these religious Pharisees. He said, your judgment is limited to what you see. What appears to your eyes in the flesh. I don't judge by outward standards. And I don't judge any man at this time. And yet, verse 16, if I judge, you can change that word to when, because he will judge. And yet, when I judge, my judgment is true. When I judge, my judgment is true. Let me show you what he's saying here. John 5, 22. Look at that. John 5, 22. He said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And then in Matthew 7, turn to Matthew 7. Here are people at the judgment. Religious people at the judgment. Matthew 7, 21. Look at it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, he says, I judge no man, not now. I didn't come to judge, I came to save. But yet when I judge, my judgment will be just. Listen, they'll say to me, Lord, have we not preached in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. He will judge. He will judge. God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world by that man, Christ Jesus. And he's given witness to every man in that he raised him from the dead. Turn back to the text. This is so. He said, I'm the light of the world. Though I bear record of myself, my record's true. I know who I am. I know who sent me. I know why I came. I know where I'm going. But you don't know that, he said. You judge everything by what you see with these natural eyes. By what appears to your flesh. I don't. And I don't judge any man yet. But when I judge, my judgment will be just. Because, listen, I'm not alone. I and my Father that sent me, I'm not alone. I and the Father are one. And my judgment will be his judgment. And his judgment will be my judgment. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'll tell you to be, I said to the folks Wednesday night, how your heart covets to be in his audience. Like Mary to sit at his feet and listen with some comprehension, with some understanding. God's given us understanding. We can listen to a man talk about what he said. And we understand. I understand what he's saying. I understand this. Yet when I judge, my judgment will be just. And it'll be true. Because I'm not alone. I'm not alone. He that heareth me heareth my Father. He that denieth the Son denieth both the Son and the Father. Turn to 1 John. Let me show you that. We're one. What the Son doeth, the Father doeth. In 1 John chapter 2, listen. 1 First John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He's an antichrist and denieth both the Father and the Son. For whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. I am a Father. Well, I'm not alone. All right, let's see what they reply to this. Religious people are contentious. They don't just hear the word and receive it and rejoice in it. They've got to have it on their level, you know. So they said, verse 19, listen, well, where's your Father? Where's your Father? And he said, you do not know me nor my Father. What a sad thing. What a solemn charge. You don't know me and you don't know my Father. If you'd known me, love me, receive me, you'd know my Father too. If you knew me, you'd know him. And if you knew him, you'd know me. All right. And now let's look at verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. This is an interesting place. Our Lord visited and taught in the temple where they said the 13 chests were, where they stood, in which the people put their tithes, their offerings. Therefore, it was a very important public place. Very public. I show you that in Mark chapter 12. Turn to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. The Lord Jesus Christ is here in the temple, in the important place, in the very conspicuous place, right in the treasury, right where the people came to bring their offerings, and they brought them every day. It says in verse 41 of Mark 12, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich cast in much. And there came a poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is an open, conspicuous, awesome place in the treasury. And here he sat. That's what it says here in verse 20. These words that he's speaking is in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And strangely, though they hated him and despised him and wanted him dead, they didn't lay hands on him. Couldn't touch him. The Pharisees couldn't touch him. They despised him, would put him to death, and one day did. But they could not until God permitted it. His hour had not yet come. He said that on many occasions, mine hour has not yet come. Our Lord came at the appointed time, God's appointed time, to redeem his people. And his hour had not yet come. They couldn't touch him. And then he speaks to these Pharisees. Those are the ones he's speaking to in verse 21. And I believe he speaks to them as if he's speaking to the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation, and also to all people who do not believe him. He said unto them, I go my way. I go my way. I go the way God ordained for me. I go to the cross. That's the way. I go to the tomb. I go to the Father. I go my way. And listen, and you'll seek me. And you die in your sins. For where I go, you cannot come. I go my way, and you seek me. Someday, now listen, someday, he's saying to these Pharisees and to Israel as a whole, someday you'll seek me. Someday you'll seek a Messiah. Someday you'll seek a deliverer. Someday you'll seek a Savior in your great distress. When the flood waters come in upon you, you'll seek deliverance. You'll seek help. You'll seek a Messiah. You'll seek a Savior. But you'll seek in vain. For you have denied the Holy One. Therefore, he says, you'll die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Solomon wrote about that in the Proverbs. Listen, turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. What a solemn scripture. Listen to it. This is what our Lord's saying here. Someday you'll seek me. He's saying that to these Pharisees. Someday you'll feel a need. Someday you'll need help. And he says, Solomon wrote about this in Proverbs 1, verse 24. Because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand, no man regarded. You set at naught all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. Now he said, you'll seek me, but you'll not find me. Listen, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when fear engulfs you and overcomes you. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me, but they'll not find me. That's what he's saying. The day's coming when everybody is going to need some help. Death and eternity and judgment are too fearful, awesome, to tackle alone. And you'll seek me, but you can't find me. And you can't, where I am, you can't come. For you hated knowledge. Verse 29, you hated knowledge. You didn't choose the fear of the Lord, but rather the fear of men and the honor that comes from men. You would none of my counsel. The counsel was there, but you didn't want it. You despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. They sought their own way. I'll have my own way. This is my religious way, my way of doctrine, a way of belief, or way of faith, or I'll do my own thing. They'll eat of the fruit of that way. You see, there's a way that seems right to men. This doesn't seem right. Man's fall and inability and depravity and emptiness, that doesn't seem right. God, in grace and mercy, choosing a people in an everlasting covenant, giving Christ a kingdom to redeem, to bring home, to reign over, sending him to die on a cross, first to obey the law as our righteousness and die on a cross. Helpless mass of tortured human flesh hanging on a tree. A helpless man taken down from a tree in death and buried in a tomb. Rising the third day and ascending to glory, and there is our great high priest seated at the right hand of God as our deliverer, savior, salvation, hope, life, righteousness, wisdom, all things, sanctification. That's not our way. That's God's way. And those who walk God's way are going to enjoy the fruit of the way. And they that walk their way are going to eat the fruit of their way and be filled, verse 31, with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple
shall slay them. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me is going to dwell safely and be quiet from the fear of evil. It's all right, he said. I go my way. I go my way. You walk your way. I go my way. This is God's way. And someday you'll seek me. Someday when the fruit of your way, there's no peace except in the Prince of Peace. There's no rest except in Christ. There's no joy, no hope, no life except in him who is life. But you go your way, and someday your way, you'll see your way is not the way. It's just not the way. That's not it. All you've given our lives to is not the way. And then we're going to seek in these last days when panic and fear and trouble and distress overwhelm us. He said, you're going to seek me, but you're not going to find me. Because I told you, and I warned you, and I counseled you, and you would have none of my way. You want your way. And where I go, you can't come. That's so heartbreaking. And then they mocked again. Oh, these fellows at verse 22, they've always, religion today has to make a mockery of everything. Will he kill himself? Because he says, you can't go where I go? He said, that's all right. That's all right. You're from beneath. You're from beneath. You're of the world. That's the way you think. That's the way you reason. That's the way you observe things. Flesh from the sole of your feet to the top of your heads. Your flesh. You're from beneath. I'm not from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. This world's your home. This world's your passion. This world is your ambition. This world with its honor and glory and praise and comforts and luxuries are you living in. I'm not of this world. And I said to you, and he said, therefore, I'll say it again, you're going to die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, if you receive not the Son of God in truth, in heart, you die in your sins. Die in your sins. The horror of dying in sin. So look unto him. Isaac Watts wrote, you sinners, own your God. You fallen race, look and be saved by Christ alone, redeemed by his grace. See all our sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for us believing men. He speaks. I listened to his voice and new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice. The poor and needy, they believe. Weak as the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought, but when I see thee as thou art, I praise thee as I ought. May God grant that none of us here die in our sins, but that we believe that he is. I know who I am. I know whence I came. I know why I came, and I know where I'm going. And by God's grace, we do too. It's only by his grace. And rest in him. Let's sing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear.